its light will guide you here and hereafter. The hand and the kandu both remain, which is that light, which is within you. That can be seen when your attention is drawn from all outside and your inner eyes open. So all scriptures describe rays of light vibrating with the music of life emanating from the formless absolute existence. When he came to manage the world in its variegated colors and counter shapes. So this pervades all four grand delusions of the world. Kabir says, I went on the pilgrimage to Mecca. On the way, God met me and began to fight with me, rebuked me. Who told you I'm here? I'm in you. See, I'm the very life of your life. So the point Rajan Master asks, have you seen God? Guru Nanak says, yes, I've seen him. He's manifest everywhere. He does not give any reason, because he sees and maker sees. Christ was asked, he said, behold the Lord. He never gave any reason for that. If we are not trying to let you know from the level of intellect, Kabir said, I was in doubt when I saw him within, now I'm fully confident he is. So Master, when they come, you see, they are, the message that they bring is that there is God. They have seen. And you can also see with your guidance. But whose God is? The God in him. He is the Word made flesh. God alone can afford you contact with God. Nobody else. So we respect that man body, you see, in which is manifest and can do us that grace. So Guru Nanak was asked, with what eyes you have seen? He said, those eyes are different with which he can be seen, not the eyes of flesh or bone. Mohammedan philosophers said that is the inner eye. So outer expressions of God into expression in light and sound. We can see him with the single eye, with the divchikyu, with the shiv netra, third eye. Samastam rays. He said, what is this? He said, we should be able to see God with our own eyes. How can we convince if there is God if we don't see our own self? We should be able to hear his voice with our own ears. And how that eye and ear is open, he says, close your eyes, you see darkness. Just penetrate into the darkness, and you'll find that. This is sort of giving a boost. Tulsi also said the same thing, the darkness within you, just look into the, through the eye beyond. That explains. But he said, how can you can look through the darkness beyond? That's the favor of some master, the God in him. So Maharaj Rum says, as long as you do not rise above these senses, life of senses, the world beyond is a stranger to us. So all these things you will find, unless our inner eye is open to see here, we cannot be convinced. At the time of initiation, something is given to start with. Some more, others less. That capital with it, that you can start with and dwell from day to day. Every saint has its part in its future. Take the example of a pond of water that is covered with wheat. You take out weed one by one, little by little. Take out all weed, and there are no ripples in the water, you can see your face. So first, this weed is what? This physical body. This delusion starts from the man body. When you rise above it, this is taking out the weed. If you still the mind for a while, you see the light. Very practical question. all the delusion starts from the man body. Body is made of matter. Matter is changing at every moment of life. And the world around us is also made of matter. That is also changing at the same speed as our body is changing. As we are identified with the body, whole thing appears to be stationary. It's an optical illusion. So first, how to take out the weed from the world, found is rise above physical body. If you can rise above your own self, well and good. What more is wanted? If bridegroom wants to rise to see, if not, the world made flesh will give you little attention and you rise above and you see for your own self there is light within you. So there are three things, Kabir said. Oh man, you are considered the highest in all race, all creation. All have been created to serve you. If you have not seen God, on what account you boast? Your greatness and only their wise angels are asked to bow down to you. Because in man body, only you can see God. And you have not seen God, then why you boast? You are the highest of all things. So I say it is a matter of not only saying words. God is there, God is great, God is high, God is light, God is that. This alone won't do. Unless you see for yourself, don't believe. One is seeing, then believing. And for that, what all masters prescribe, man know thyself. How to know yourself? We know only at the level of feelings or dragging influences. They are both subject to error. Seeing is above all. The seeing arises only when you rise above body consciousness. And how to rise above body consciousness? You can do of your own self, that is good. If not, with a little way up from a world made flashes, that you may say hundreds, that you all have some experience. So if you do it accurately, with a little heart behind, then you see more or less light. So there are three things required. One, a master, who is world made flesh. Teachers are required in every phase of life. For the child born, parents are the teachers, brothers, sisters. In school, they are teachers. In outward all subjects which you make to conversion with that, you need somebody who is expert that way. These are required in all subjects relating to outgoing faculty, mind and intellect. And the subject what is before us is to know God. Where all world philosophies and there the religion starts. Religion means dream is back, leisure to bind. To bind back our soul to God. With all intellect, outer understanding, ceases. Is there nobody required for that? Naturally. Who can you give a way up? How to rise above body? First thing. And then open the inner eye and you testify there is God. And what further thing is required? What the Master wants us to do to have true living. Ethical life is stepping stone to spirituality. Honest earning. Okay. All diet that does not dwell passions in us. Because we have to control passions, for that reason we have to restrict ourselves to strict vegetarian diet which is pacifying, does not. I mean, flare of passion. And further, such a master will never engages you in the practices which relate to outgoing faculties, mind and intellect. As I submitted before, there are two kinds of worship. One is called exotic side, the other is called esoteric side. One is called Apra, the other is called Para. One is Ilme Sina, the other is Ilme Safina. So Master gives you the inner way, which you want to follow. The religions came into being only when the Masters left the earth plane to keep their teachings alive. The labels of which we are now carrying, some Christians, some Hindus, some Sikhs, some Mohammedans, some Jews. So basically it is inner way the same. So they give you, don't give you anything of the jyoti side. They say already main way you are, but rise above body consciousness. Your ABC of the inner way will start when you rise above body consciousness. Follow me? They say all the world is a manifestation of God. Where is God? Where is not? They are very conscious that they see God all around. Guru Nanak went to Mecca. He was lying at night with his feet towards Mecca, house of God. The servants over there rebuked Nanak. What are you doing? You're lying with your feet towards the house of God. He politely answered, well, dear friend, I see God all around. Wherever you think God is night, you may touch my feet towards that. A fish inquires, where's the water? A fish lives in the water. His life is very water. And still inquires, where's the water? It is something like that, like us. So Master said that all manifestation is the all God, and they see, they have seen God within this man body, also with the true temple of God, in which the light of God, it can be seen when our single eye is open, third eye is open. We can hear the voice of God, the music of the spheres when we rise above physical body. So true temple of God is a man body in which light is lit and music of the spheres is reverberating. And in all creation, that is controlling power, keeping all control, creation under control, permeating all control, that is also keeping us in the body too. This is a wonderful house we live in. You see? It has got 9 doors. But we cannot run out of it. Some power is controlling us in the body. That is the power which controls our universe and controlling us in the power, the very God into expression power, the outer expression of which are two, light and sun. When you enter this man body, the temple of the God, true temple of God, by tapping inside, by rising above body consciousness, then your eyes open, you see the light is there. Outer models are made after the model of man body. Unless I, there is Muhammad saying too, Quran, or the Muhammad also says so, God is everywhere. He said, my fathers, whenever the time of prayer comes, they should sit down on the earth. All earth is holy. All is holy where devotion kneels. There is no question, east and west. Even the Quran says that God is everywhere. Well, whenever the time of prayer comes, sit down, let them. He is omniscient. He knows where. And he reads our hearts. You are sitting that way or that way. So this is the fate awaiting us, but first we have to see the temple of God, rise above it and open the inner eye to see the light of God. When you see here, then you see all world outside like that. The question arises, can we see God? Have we seen God? The Master says, yes, we have seen God in this very man body. So why don't we see? Because mind stands between the God within you. So first thing remains how to control the body, how to control the mind. Mind is, you see, very fond of enjoyment. Outward enjoyments can be divided into good scenery, good beauty, you see and you are attracted, good music, you hear, your attention will be drawn there. So that very thing, God has given that thing within us. And what is that? That is God into spiritual power, which are two aspects, light and sound. That is more enchanting, more bliss-giving. Once the mind has a taste of that, it leaves all out of the time. That's the water of life within each man. That is the bread of life. You give food to the body. Your body becomes strong. You read and write and other things, and you give food to the intellect. You become intellectually strong. What food you have given to the soul? Soul is a conscious entity. The bread of life must be conscious. That's only when you come in contact with God into His special power, which is light and sound. So, good questions. What is that way in which we can know God? You see, first thing requires such a master who has seen God. This also Gita, Lord Krishna also says, if you want to see God, go to somebody who has seen God. Those who have not seen God, how can you make see God? Christ and all masters, Guru word means who can remove the veil of darkness from within you and give you some light. Who can open your third eye, single eye. So such like master are few, have been few, and even now they are few, world is not without them. He said, then what is the need? First need is what? Meet some master. The masters are also, you see, everybody called a master nowadays. This macrocosm in the microcosm of the man body. In the macrocosm, we got three planes, physical, astral, and conscious. God has given us three bodies, and we are working in the physical plane with physical body. At the time, it is now down. We have got astral body to work through the astral plane. Then we have got the causal body to work through the causal plane. When we rise beyond it, into the super causal and the pure spiritual plane, such a master is required to go to the highest of all spiritual planes. So whatever degree of the teacher you meet, if you go to the first plane, he can take you to the first plane. If you go to the second, after the second, third, he cannot take you beyond. So such a master is required who goes beyond and also take you beyond. What's the criterion? First, who can open our eyes to see the light. Not by visualization, not by premeditation, mind that. By simply removing the darkness from within you, give a way up and you see light. Such a first required. This is what Kabir was saying. First required means Guru, Master, who has seen God, who can make us see. Christ said, I have come to make those people see who do not see. So what sort of teaching they give? They give us a teaching not exotic, but the esoteric side. He said, where the God? God is in the very core of your heart. He is the soul of the soul. He is the controlling power keeping you in the body. Otherwise, you could have run away through the eyes, through the ear, through the nose. So such a master required who goes to the highest. This is the first step. Who takes the weed from the pond, brings you up the physical body. Then with the mind little still, you see the light. So, what we are in a grand delusion. What delusion is there, as I just submitted? The body is changing, made of being made of matter. The world around us, made of matter, is also changing at the same speed as our body is changing, and we are identified with it. This delusion starts from the man body. We are the indweller of the man body. We now look from the level of the man body. And two things are changing at the same speed. And we are identified with it. We think think of self, we are stationary. When you rise above body consciousness, you'll see the world going the right perspective. You'll see. Fine. So all are this grand religion. The learned and the unlearned both. How can you find way up? It is only when you know yourself. Knowing oneself not at the level of feelings or drawing inferences, it is actually by self-analysis, rising above body consciousness, knowing oneself and knowing God, the controlling power. You can see, find him at the time of death, when you're leaving the body, there's some power is controlling you. Even now, when you rise out of physical body, you see some power controlling you. So, Master tells us, strange now, whom we are to find in man body the golden opportunity which has been afforded to you, in which we can see God, meet God. He also resides in man body, the controlling power, keeping us in the body, and we also reside in the body. Body works as long as we are in the body, we are in the body as long as that power controls us in the body. When that power is withdrawn, we have to leave the body. Strange enough, we both live in the same temple, we do not talk to him. Why? Because attention, which is the outward expression of our soul, is identified with the world outside. Unless that is withdrawn from there, we come to our own self, to our own selves at the back of the eyes, then we'll see. I'm looking at you, not behind. I can see behind only when it's see at the back. When attention is down from outside and inward inside, we find that it is there already. So Master, do not give anything from outside. They simply help you to withdraw your outgoing faculty out. Attention from outside, way, give you way up to the back of the eyes, you see light. It is already there. So, says, because we are working at the level of man, body, and outgoing faculty, all these five decades attack us, lust to the eyes, anger is led up to the ears, smell to the nose, taste to the tongue and touch by the skin. When you rise above, all outgoing faculty remains below. If you find a place beyond your foot, stay beyond, have the taste of it, naturally then you use the outgoing faculties at your own will and pleasure. Now we are dragged away by them like anything. Then you are the master of your home, you see. That master gives you first step to become the master of your home. Then all these outgoing faculties serve as servants. Now they work as bosses and drag you like anything outside. Why? Because you are not God, seen God within. We are not enjoyed the bliss or the nectar of God within. So he says, how to enter this man body? Take the example of house outside. It is made by, God made by owner of the house. When it is ready, he locked it up, give the key to his servant. And anybody who wants to enter the house, what would he do? First he will have the sanction of the owner of the house. If he agrees, then he gives his key to the servant, or he go and open the door and let him go inside. So this man body, who made it? God does not reside in temples made by human hands. God resides in the temple which he has made, in the womb of the mother. He had locked it up, he gave the key to the servants. When he gives sanction, then what does he do? He makes some arrangement to bring him in contact with one of his servants, you may say, to whom he works on the astral plane. Go open the door, let him in. And he, what does he do? He withdraws your attention from all outsides and gives you an access into the beyond. If you want to enter the house, you can, at any cost you can enter, because that is locked. The key is with somebody else. Unless the owner of the house gives a sanction for it, and then it tells somebody to open the door, you cannot go within it. So he says that the God into expression power is the true Guru mind. When world is made flesh, he comes at the physical plane to guide us. He says when that God into expression power sanctions, you see, what to give any man contact with him, he gives them the company of saints. He gives them the contact with those who are world-made flesh. It is he who makes arrangement to bring him in contact with the God into special power, where he is manifest. He details that, bring him in contact. So now we sometimes say, had we lived at the time of Christ, or Guru Nanak, or such and such, such and such, how can we find such a Guru now? The Kabir says, we must be true to our own self first. Do we really want him? That's the first thing to decide. We only want God for the sake of him, this world, things of the world, we other world. If there is anybody who really wants to know God, then he sees within. My child is hankering after me. He's yearning, he cannot live without me. So he makes some arrangement with two one's old. He openly says, I have not met him. And further, he has got humility. St. Augustine was asked, what is the qualification required to meet such a master? He says, first humility, second humility, and third humility. The man who is humble, only he will go to somebody. Man of possessions, with high positions, and learned, they don't like to go to anywhere. What will they say? He is humble, only he will go. Even then, there also, he knows what he knows. Simply he should hear what others have to say. He might have said to something new. Even there, he keeps his bowl not under the tumbler, but above the tumbler. How can they feel? So such a people, few there are, really go. When they go there also, they keep that glass under the, not under the tumbler, but above the tumbler, that cannot be filled in. So when you go there, see what is there. It is something beyond where the world philosophies end, there the vision starts. So such a master is meant, whom God sent. What does he do, that man? He contacts, gives you contact to you with the light and sound principle within you, which is the way back to absolute God. No hypothesis. Sometimes people ask the masters, have you seen God? Have you come out of the delusion? Master says, yes, with the grace of God, I have come out of the delusion. I see my light is just being mingled into higher light. This is God. Man body is the only golden opportunity in which we can know God. An ultimate goal or ideal before you by or joining different schools of thought is to know God. To know God, we must know ourselves. Unless we see, so many masters are there who teach you something of the practices and methods which relate to the outgoing faculties or intellect. You spend all your life, those are good actions of course, but no salvation. When world-made flesh master meets you, he brings your attention from all outside, gives you contact with the God into expression power, which is light and sound, he leads you to the source from which it emanates. So this is the goal before us. There is God. Master Singh has said, you can also see. Every saint has his past and every saint his future. So there is hope for everybody. We should be sincere. Really, we want it or not. That very school is better in terms of many successful students like that. The only solution is to meet somebody who has seen God and makes you see. Who sees and makes you see.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. This morning, our reader is Joanna Swanson. Are you there, Joanna?
I'm ready to go, John.
Okay, carry on.
Good morning to my very dear brothers and sisters. I've been reading from Master's wonderful book, Mystery of Death, and today we will continue with that. This is now Chapter 3, The Life in Fullness. This earth, the arena of so many struggles and strifes, full of sharp antinomies and contrarieties, presenting, as it does, a vast panorama of life in its variegated forms and colors, is but a speck in the boundless creation of the great Creator. From Nanak, there is no end to the creation. There are countless forms of life with varied names, species, and colors writ on the objective world by the ever-flowing pen of the Creator. That was Guru Nanak. With all its seeming imperfections, this world serves a useful purpose in the divine plan, just like an apparently insignificant cog in the machinery of a great powerhouse. Nature, the handiwork of God, is not the least extravagant in its design and plan. This world is a penitentiary, a house of correction, a sort of purgatory, a plane of expiation, a training ground where souls get chastened by experience. It is a halfway house between the physical planes and the spiritual realms. The powers that be of the earth are hard taskmasters, believing still in the ancient Mosaic law of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Here, all kinds of third-degree methods are employed, and hard knocks are administered, rendering less than justice, untempered by compassion and mercy, so that one should take his lessons seriously and by degrees turn away from the way of the world to the way of God. Life on the earth plane, then, is a dreadful thing, dark with horror, and we are the lost children of God in the labyrinthine wilderness of the world. Evolution is in the nature of living monads and consists in their moving towards their source and becoming one with it. For true happiness lies in fellowship divine, fellowship with the essence, till we shine, fully alchemized and free of space. But the tragedy of life on earth is that we do not know what we are, and much less of what we may become. What we are, we do not see. What we see is our shadow, says Socrates. The inner being in us is so constituted after the fashion of God that it knows no rest until it rests in Him. A truly religious experience, says Plotinus, consists in the finding of the true home by the soul exiled from heaven. And this experience can be ours if only we know how to unhook the self from the trammels and trappings of the body and the mind. Self-realization and God-realization are the highest objects of mundane existence. Self-realization precedes God-realization. Know thyself has ever been an article of faith with the ancients. First the Greeks and then the Romans in their turn, laid great stress on Nothi Sutton and Nose Tapsum, as they called it, respectively, and both of these terms stand for self-knowledge, or knowledge of the self in us. The knowledge of the self, or the Atmajana of the Hindu rishis, and Khud Shanasi of the Muslim dervishes comes first. Next comes the realization and experience of the over-self, or God, the Paramatma, or Rab-ul-Almin, and this is called Khuda Shanasi, or knowledge of God. The process of self-realization, whereby the self can be separated from the mighty maze of mind and matter, begins with introversion, the receding of the attention. The attention is the outward expression of the soul into the world. The self-realization process is an art of inversion of the attention from the world of the senses to the world within and beyond the physical senses, technically called paravidya. Real life or reality is something that is cognized only in a death-like state, a state that intervenes and depends upon conscious withdrawal of the sensory currents from the physical body to the eye focus. Life is an active principle, however removed from the senses and observation. In the workaday world, we are prone to all kinds of lusts, lust of the flesh, eyes, ears, and other sense organs, and we are being constantly swayed by countless attachments, myriads of aspirations and desires, springing from the diverse longings of the heart and from the unknown latencies lying hidden in the folds of the mind. All types of likes and dislikes, prides and prejudices, loves and hatreds, and many other things, unwittingly keep creeping into our personal consciousness. All these things fritter away our spiritual energy and keep us away from the ultimate goal and purpose of our life, to wit, self-realization. This ignorance of the aim of life is a serious malady with which we are afflicted, and it is the cause of bondage, bondage of the soul to a world bursting with sin and sorrow. Yet, there is a power within us that resurrects, revives the soul. We have, therefore, to take a turnabout from this outer drama of hectic activity and find the still center of our being within the human body, where the all-pervading and all-free power resides. This human body is verily the temple of God, and the Holy Ghost dwells therein. So all this present outer activity has got to be reversed and geared back into the opposite direction. This process is termed by Emerson as tapping inside and as going into the foxhole of the brain, as was once remarked by President Harry Truman. For it was into this foxhole that he repaired whenever he wanted peace and relaxation from the burden of his high office. The Vedas call it Brahmarindra, or the hole through which Brahm can be contacted. Knock and it shall be opened unto you, St. Matthew says significantly enough. It shows that a door within the body leads into the realm beyond, the kingdom of God. And of this inlet it is said, quote, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." St. Matthew 7. To locate this gate and to have an experience of the ingress brings about personal conviction, for nothing becomes real till it is experienced. The intellect is finite, and so is reasoning based upon intellect. Scriptural texts speak of truth, but they do not demonstrate it, much less give an actual contact with truth. Logical knowledge is all inferential and cannot be depended upon with complete certainty. Certitude comes only when the eternal word speaks. The shortest, the swiftest, and the surest way to plumb truth is through a mortal leap into the unknown, says Henry Bergson, the great philosopher. Perception, intuition, and reasoning just help in understanding the reality to a certain extent at the level of the intellect. But seeing is believing. Seeing within, with one's own eye, the single eye, as it is called. Of this inlet or ingress, little is known by the people at large. Nanak emphatically declares, "The blind find not the door." In order to find the straight gate and the narrow way leading into life, life eternal, the life of the spirit as distinguished from the life of the flesh, we have of necessity to recoil from the present downward and outward expansion, gather in the outgoing faculties of the mind at the seat of the soul, and bring our attention fully behind and between the two eyes. In other words, we have to change the center of our being from the heart center, as at present, to the eye center, the tisratil of the nukta isweda, and develop the single eye of which Jesus speaks. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. St. Matthew 6. This single or third eye, variously called by the sages as the Shiv Netra, the Divya Chakshu, or the Chashami Bhatan, provides an ingress into the spiritual world, the kingdom of God, now a lost realm to most of us. It is here at that eye center that one has to tap within to knock, and knock hard with fully concentrated and single-minded attention as an undivided individual in order to find the way in and gain an entry into the astral world. Hence the exhortation, now is the time to awaken and lovingly remember the Lord. But how? We have not seen him, and one cannot concentrate on and contemplate the formless void as he is. In the same breath comes the sage's counsel as well. Learn of this approach to the absolute from some God-man. What does the God-man say? Fix thou thy attention at the eye focus, the seat of the Lord Shiva, the Shiva Netra, for then everything will follow of itself in due course, as you will gain experience of the self in you. The masters tell us that the entire world is blindly groping in the dark, chasing the fleeting shadows which are ever eluding and ever fading away into airy nothings as we draw nigh to them, while the fountainhead of all bliss and harmony lies untapped within at the eye center, which is the seat of the soul in the body in the waking state. This center, when located, gives an access to and provides a supra-conscious contact with the realms that lie beyond the farthest ken of the human mind. Equipped with the sense organs, our only means of outer knowledge is through them. But the soul is perfect without the senses, for its action is direct and immediate, and not indirect and mediate, depending on outer aids, as knowledge of the world is. After obtaining this contact at the eye focus, one is led step by step to the true home of the Father. This is life in fullness. Thrice blessed is man, for it is given unto him to have the power to traverse the inner regions, both astral and causal, and to go into the beyond, the Parbrahm, to reach the region of eternal bliss, Satchkhand, outside the pale of repetitive creation, dissolution, and grand dissolution. But so long as one does not withdraw himself from the outer world and from himself as well, from his body, mind, and intellect, he does not draw any nearer to God. It is only when the outward man perishes, when the human in the body is transhumanized, that the inward man, the spirit, is renewed, and the dizzy heights of the Mount of Transfiguration are gained, and one becomes a living spirit, freed from the body and its impediments, capable then of getting the inner experience of meeting the ancient masters like Moses and Elijah, St. Matthew 17, or of joining the Lord in the Feast of Passover, St. Matthew 26, St. Mark 14. It is at this place of inner contact that the Lord awaits his disciples. And from the Revelation to St. John, a quote, "Behold, I, the Christ power, stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." All this inner experience that St. John reveals to us, he had when he was transformed in the Spirit, and he speaks of the coming in of the Lord as a thief in the night, in the darkness of the soul. Hafiz, a Persian mystic of great repute, also testifies, "The Murshid, master, comes in the darkness with a lantern in his hand." The way Godward, says Prophet Muhammad, is narrower than a hair and sharper than the razor's edge. It is described by Nanak as a khand didar, the sword's edge, and thinner than a hair. One has actually to pass through a death-like experience. In this context, Saint Plutarch says, at the moment of death, the soul experiences the same impressions and passes through the same processes as are experienced by those who are initiated into the great mysteries. But how many of us are prepared to experience the death processes while living? We are all mortally afraid of death. And why? So when we know and know so well that it is the necessary end of all created things? The reasons, therefore, are not far to seek. In the first place, we have not learned to die at will while living. And secondly, because we do not know what happens after death. Where do we go? What lies beyond the death trap? This is why we have a horror of death and why the mere idea of death holds us in a state of mortal terror. The entire world is mortally afraid of death, and everyone desires to have an endless life. If by the grace of the Guru one learns of death in life, he becomes the knower of divine wisdom. O Nanak, he who dies such a death gains for himself the gift of life eternal. Death, after all, is not a dreadful incident. How charming is divine philosophy, not harsh and crabbed as the ignoramus is supposed, but sweetly melodious as Apollo's lute and a perpetual feast of nectared sweet. Death in reality opens new vistas and new horizons of life beyond the grave. And the flames of the funeral pyre that engulf in tomb and extinguish the mortal remains do not touch the soul. Dust thou art, and to dust returneth, Genesis 3, was not spoken of the soul. The life principle in us, or in fact in every other living thing, never dies. It is only the elemental parts that go through a process of change which we erroneously call death and wrongly understand to be an extinction. In nature, death feeds life, and life illumines death. It is the universal law that operates everywhere and on all planes of existence. The wise men discovered that the perception of reality comes with the annihilation of the self, the bodily self in which the soul is incarcerated. The moment the spirit voluntarily breaks through the fetters, something breaks in upon the spirit with a terrible illumination from the world behind the world, making it the prophet of the Most High God. It is at the Mount of Transfiguration that one gets revelations and sees the mingling of heaven and earth. It is here that one finds the dark grows luminous and the void fruitful. Everyone has, as a matter of course, to die someday, man, bird, or beast, rich or poor, healthy or diseased, young or old. The soul which takes on the physical raiment has to shed it one day. Death alone is certain and real, while life in this world is uncertain. We seldom pause to think about the long journey which lies ahead for the inner being in us. We usually lament the death of others and mourn for them for days on end, but are not wise enough to care for our own end and prepare ourselves for the final journey into the great unknown that lies beyond life's end. Before an analysis is offered of the death process, practical and informative as it may be, it would be worth our while to know at least what we are. Who are we? Whence do we come? Whither do we go? And above all, what is the meaning or purpose of life? Man, as constituted at present, is an aggregate of body, mind, and intellect with a great motor power working from behind called soul. Formed and environed as we are through the ages, our attention, the outgoing expression of the soul, is continuously flowing outwards and downwards through the nine portals of the body, the eyes, the ears, the nostril nares, the mouth, and the two passages below the waist. It is not that we wish it or do it voluntarily, but the outgoing of the tension has just become a habit with us. We are not yet master of the house in which we live. We are being constantly dragged out by the mind and the senses through the various sense organs into the vast and varied field of sense enjoyments. It is this constant association of the self in us, the attention, with the mind and the material objects that has not only debased us, but has defaced us beyond recognition. And now we do not know what we really are. We have become so identified with the limiting adjuncts that we do not know anything independent of and apart from them. Unless the self gets depersonalized by throwing off the mask of gross personality with which it has covered itself and becomes disrobed self, pure and simple, by dissociation from these countless limiting agents, which are one, the mind, comprising the faculties of hoarding impressions, chit, and thinking, manas, reasoning intellect, buddhi, and egoism or self-assertiveness, ahamkar, and two, the sheaths or coverings, the physical, the subtle, the causal, three, the inborn gunas, the natural propensities of righteousness, which is sattva, mercurial restlessness, raja, and inaction born of ignorance, tamas, four, the five elements, tattvas, the earth, water, fire, air, and ether, of which the entire physical creation is made, and five, the 25 compounded elements, the prakritis, in varying degrees of proportion, which prepare the physical molds or bodies in different shapes and patterns, shades and colors as a result of karmic reactions. The self, imprisoned in so many meshes, cannot know its own real nature, much less its divine ancestry, and the rich heritage, all of which comes to light only when it comes to its own and realizes itself as the self-luminous self. Let us see what some of the English thinkers have to say in this context. Man is a little world in himself, made cunningly of elements and an angelic spirit. His godlike qualities have been depraved by the fall, and he is constantly visited by divine wrath, wars, plagues, and thunderstorms. Yet he can enjoy a civilized happiness, provided he treats the world as a preparation for the next and keeps the body subject to his soul. John Donne. And from John Skelton, what is it to trust unmutability, sith that in this world nothing may endure? There is within the all-comprehending ambit of animal instinct some secret urge which drives the chosen men towards transcending of animal impulse. This transcending animal impulse manifests itself as complete disinterestedness of all that is in the world without. The urge of animal ego is completely disregarded, and the evidence of this disregard is a willing submission to a self-sought death, an acceptance of the annihilation of the animal instinct is arrayed against this acceptance till nothing remains on the subjective side but pure consciousness, and one is transformed into a superior being whom he imagines, contemplates. Nothing ever becomes real till it is actually experienced. Even a proverb is no proverb till your life has illustrated it. But how many philosophers have made this acquisition? For this, the mind has to be reintegrated, made an undivided whole, as a faculty of sense, integrating, which is a prelude to and a necessary condition to total detachment from it. The self must be whole before one can wholly detach oneself from it, body, mind, and intellect. It is an all-seeing mind which embraces the totality of being under the aspect of eternity. As we gain our entrance into the world of being, a total vision is ours. And a quote from Middleton Murray, there is a communication between mystery and mystery, between the unknown soul and the unknown reality. At one particular point in the texture of life, the hidden truth seems to break through the veil. How then is this inner urge to be fulfilled? The process of getting fully into and staying completely in the eye focus, the gateway to the so-called death, is akin to a part of the process of death. The process of withdrawal of the sensory currents from the body below the eyes is a voluntary one, and one comes to experience the mysteries of the beyond into which a master soul, a Sant Satguru, initiates a disciple during his lifetime. The master soul gives a first-hand inner experience of conscious contact with the holy Nam, the divine light, and the holy sound current or Holy Ghost as coming from the right side, which are the lowest expressions of the divinity within. One cannot, by one's own unguided and unaided efforts, have an access into the spirit world when one cannot hold on by himself even in the physical world without the active aid and guidance of many teachers from the cradle to the grave. Herein lies the paramount need and importance of the contemporary Satguru or Murshidi Kamil, the perfect master, adept in the science and art of the soul, competent enough to disentangle the spirit currents from every pore of the body. the plane of sensations as it is, and to raise the soul above body consciousness to witness for itself the inner divine splendiferous glory. That brings our reading today to a close. And in closing, may we just say, thank you, Master, for being with us, for taking us unto you as your children. Thank you for this great blessing. Amen.
Thank you, Joanna, for the wonderful reading. Excuse me a minute, I'll do a count. So today there were 75 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this satsang for us. Now please hang up your phone.